This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into pudding! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. And if you're one of our recent listeners on CastBox, we appreciate you listening in to Turnbuckle Trash. This is a podcast that's done by just some friends talking about professional wrestling, and we keep it PG-13. But you've got some guys that just love pro wrestling, and we hope you really enjoy this thing that we call Turnbuckle Trash. Once again, thanks to everyone listening in on CastBox today. Today on our trash, we're going to talk about some of the news items that comes out about the recent events in the WWE, Impact Wrestling, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, some of the independents, Lucha Underground, and more. We'll have a great discussion with Zane Peterson and Christopher Evans, two of my friends that we do the podcast with. We'll discuss some of the political aspects of the event Crown Jewel coming up in Saudi Arabia, and some of the controversy around that. Let's start with some news from around the world of professional wrestling, and we'll do that. Once again, thanks for joining us today on Turnbuckle Trash.
Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.
That move. On his feet, the Stray Cat. Is he ready? Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please!
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so...
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Hey, just wanted to give a big old shout-out to Elias and Kevin Owens. A few weeks back on Raw, they were in Seattle, Washington. Elias and KO were cutting a heel promo, and boy, did they do a heel promo.
And now, on Turnbuckle Trash, we have a segment we call How to Get Heel Heat.
Heel Heat.
Monday night, October the 1st, Seattle, Washington. Elias, KO. They were there to hype up their matches with the Super Showdown against John Cena and Bobby Lashley. And they got heat.
You know, man, you and I teaming up, it makes sense, right? We respect each other. We have similar likes and dislikes. We're both fantastic competitors. Look, let's just come out and say it. We're both great guys. We're just a couple of great guys.
I'm glad you said it.
But you know what doesn't make sense? John Cena teaming with Bobby Lashley.
It doesn't make sense, you know? It's like having a basketball team in Seattle.
Thank you.
Look, let's face it. Nowadays, every John Cena match is a big match. Every occasion to see John Cena in the ring is special. Because John Cena's ego is as big as the people of Seattle's ego. And he won't allow himself to perform unless it's on a certain level of excellence.
John Cena, he needs to be in the ring with men like us. The same way I need Seattle to shut their mouths right now.
SmackDown Live had their 1,000th show on Tuesday night on October the 16th. SmackDown Live used to be on Fridays, on Thursday. They moved around a little bit, but 1,000 episodes, and they had some great moments with some of the old GMs there, Vicky Guerrero. Also, you heard John Laurinaitis. You had Paige and Teddy Long. Give me a little holla. It was a great segment with that. There was a title change on SmackDown Live. The WWE Tag Team Champions no longer the New Day. The champions are Cesaro and Sheamus, The Bar, with a heel turn change from none other than the returning Big Show. I was shocked when I saw it. I didn't see that one coming at all. Sheamus had taken a table the announce table that Jerry the King Lawler and Booker T were doing some guest commentating on. That was full of pancakes, of course. And the pancakes were turned over and everything was kind of discombobulated. And it looked like Sheamus was going to try to choke slam or slam Kofi Kingston into that table. Down comes the Big Show, who is returning from injury. And just a heel turn, he turns good old Kofi Kingston up, puts him in a coke slam, throws him through the table. Inside the ring, Sheamus gets a broke kick and the 1, 2, 3. They don't set the bar. They are the bar. One of the great tag teams of the past couple of years. I love me some Sheamus and Cesaro. So congratulations to them. Let's see what else going on. There were some great video packages throughout SmackDown 1000. I got to admit, at the very first, when I saw Truth TV out there with Carmella, and they were doing their bit, and I saw out comes Stephanie, and then Shane McMahon, and then Mr. McMahon, and they started doing the dance breaks. Thought that was hilarious. I wish they would have incorporated more of those little dance breaks right in the middle of the show, in between matches. Maybe have Truth out there with Carmella sitting ringside, and all of a sudden, you know, doing the dance thing. I thought it was hilarious, but it was a good segment. Just wish they could have incorporated it throughout the rest of the show. We have some news from TNA, some that we'll talk about more in the second portion of our program with Chris Evans and also Zane Peterson when we talk about AA Austin Aries. But part of the event over the weekend with Abyss being a member of the Impact Hall of Fame, very well deserved. I mean, he has been a very loyal wrestler for TNA Impact, and he made a statement. I'll just kind of read a statement. I thought it was really good in his speech. There was just a nice little couple of paragraphs that I'll read to you right now. This comes from Abyss, and he said in his acceptance speech, "To the young men and women of the business right now, if I could give one piece of advice, one day Father Time is going to come up and tap you on the shoulder, and you can ignore him. You can blow him off, but he's not going anywhere. He's going to be right there behind you. How do you want to be remembered?" Abyss went on to say, "Because in the end, I promise you this, all the titles, all the tours, and all the Twitter followers aren't how you're going to be remembered. So when you've reached and you've attained your goals and you're on your own on top of the hill and you're feeling great right before you pump that fist, turn around and put your hand out, help the next guy to the top of the hill with you. One of the reasons I never wanted to leave is," Abyss went on to say, "one of the reasons he never wanted to leave the company is that this is where he got the beginning. We didn't know what the future was at the start. I'm proud of what the company has done. There have been a lot of ups and downs, but it is a great company. We've struggled, and we really plowed through some obstacles along the way. It's something I could never see myself leaving, and I am very proud of it." Way to go. That being proud, even though there's been struggles, there's been so much bad publicity for TNA Impact over the years. A classy move by Abyss. In some other news, Vicky Guerrero and Eddie Guerrero's daughter, Shaw, is now going to be hired and be the ring announcer for WOW, the Women of Wrestling. That is on Access TV. That is on Access TV. Let's do that whole segment again. Congratulations to the daughter of the great Eddie Guerrero and Vicky Guerrero. Her name is, I think it's Shaw Guerrero. She's been hired as the new ring announcer for WOW, the Women of Wrestling, which is on an Access TV. Tamina Snuka has returned to Raw. She'll be part of a battle royal for Evolution. She and Nia Jax might be feuding pretty soon. Two very strong women. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood had their Red Carpet Rumble series of shows. David Arquette was there, and he took on CJ City. Let's just say, David Arquette, the former WCW champion, I know you need to make a living. I know you need to do something to bring in a couple of bucks, but wrestling isn't it, Bubba. I'm sorry. He looked horrible. It was, in three words, pathetic. And I try not to be too negative if you're one of our first-time listeners, but it was really bad. He needs to change his get-up. He had baggy shorts on, baggy Speedos, and there ain't nothing worse than a baggy Speedo, especially in the back end, if and you know what I mean. David Arquette ain't got back. As bad as the David Arquette match was, there was a really good match as part of the Red Carpet Rumble. I really enjoyed the match between Baines and Watts. Now, Watts was on Tough Enough. You'll remember that a few years ago. He was on the same show with Martin Casals. This was the series that Stone Cold Steve Austin was part of. So they had a match between Baines and Watts. And it was an empty arena match. Kind of reminiscent of the match between Jerry the King Lawler and Terry Funk years ago. But the empty arena match actually was done very well. I would say this was the best match I've ever seen Watts involved with. So congratulations to you guys, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. John Cena has a new children's book out. Yes, he is now an author. Besides a movie star and a professional wrestler, he's been working on a movie in China. He's getting ready to start going out talking about Bumblebee, the movie. And now he has a series of children's books that just came out. And John Cena, yeah, you can't see him. He was on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and read a portion of his new children's book.
He fell behind, but he kept on trucking. Oof! He got covered in mud, but he kept on rolling. Yuck. He got bashed and smashed and even caught fire a little bit, but he kept on going. Owie kazowie! Halfway through the race, it started pouring rain. The thunder rumbled. The lightning flashed. And all of a sudden, Elbow Grease's engine shut down. His battery was completely dead. Oh, rust buckets. Elbow Grease was stuck. And for the first time, he wondered if his brothers were right. And he started to cry. I'm not crying. I'm just cold and tired. And I'm scared of the lightning. Crack-a-lacka! Boom-shack-a-lacka!
Some bad news for Kevin Owens. He's out a couple of months. He'll have surgery on both knees, or he did have surgery on both knees, and he is going to be out of action for a couple of months. Good luck to Kevin Owens. The knee surgeries, they're tough to come back from, but yeah, you can do it. He's a great performer, one of my favorites. On Monday Night Raw, Lenny and Squiggy are back together again. Shamil is back with Jinder Mahal, and now you've got Lenny and Squiggy both out there helping out Jinder Mahal. Leo Rush is now a manager. He is the mouthpiece behind Bobby Lashley, and Bobby Lashley has made a heel turn. Good move, WWE. Although Leo Rush on that microphone constantly, his voice just goes right through my head. But I'm not going to complain because I love the gimmick. And finally, in this news and information segment, we know who attacked Aleister Black on NXT. Remember, Aleister was injured right before the last big event NXT had. And it was going to be a three-way match with Gargano and also Aleister Black and Tommaso Ciampa. But Aleister was injured at a house show. He had to have surgery. He is back. But storyline, someone had attacked Aleister Black. And who was it? Stephen Regal and some of the people at NXT have been interviewing wrestlers about what they saw and making accusations. But a female wrestler, Nikki Cross, who has a great, great gig going on as kind of the wild, out there wild child in women's wrestling, she's been going around saying, I know who did it. I know what you did. And it was on the last episode of NXT that she said he is coming. And who was it that attacked Aleister Black in the parking lot? Johnny Gargano. Johnny Gargano. Johnny Wrestling. Who's been this good guy, good guy, good guy. Is this a complete heel turn? Does it mean that DIY is coming back together again? Will it mean that Johnny's going to go back after Ciampa for the championship? Is Aleister Black going to go back against both of them? Aleister Black is back at NXT, and they're getting ready for War Games. Cannot wait. I love NXT when they do their big events just before one of the pay-per-views. So be looking for War Games and Aleister Black, probably just against Johnny Gargano at this point. But it will be a fun match. Interesting to see what's going to happen with more of NXT and Johnny Wrestling, and see how the crowd reacts to him now that he's got a little bit of a heel turn going in him. We'll be right back with more from Turnbuckle Trash. We'll be joined by Chris Evans in North Carolina and my friend and colleague Zane Peterson, who is in Southern Utah, and I'm in Northern Utah. We all get together on the telephone. We have some fun. We're going to talk about a lot of things going on in the world of professional wrestling right after this. Thanks for joining us today on TurnbuckleTrash.net or on CastBox. This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Take out the trap. You think of men with menacing, icy stares that could freeze their opponents cold. Brutes who beat their foes into submission.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Today, a special edition, once again, Turnbuckle Trash. We've got a three-way call going on here. One end in North Carolina is Christopher Evans. Hi, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? It's a wonderful day here in Statesville, North Carolina. The sun is going down, and I'm finally taking my five-mile walk. How's everything going?
Five-mile walk? Good grief. Good grief, John Cena. You must be in shape.
But I'm getting there. I just don't have the hair.
What do you think of Cena's new hairdo?
He looks like John Bradshaw Layfield.
I agree. I thought that very thing at the pay-per-view. I said, man, he looks like JBL.
The real question is, what do you think about his new finisher, the sixth move of doom?
He's been watching too much Mortal Kombat, playing too much Mortal Kombat.
I just think that back elbow is wicked.
Okay, yeah, sure. I've seen it in the sports too. I could do magic tricks myself. Let me pull a rabbit out of my hat. No, thank you.
But the attitude adjustment with boom, the back elbow. I mean, nothing screams finish him like that.
You know what? We got to have somebody to do that on the Turnbuckle Trash Day. Finish him, or fatality or something like that. Come on. That's your new move?
He's just doing it to goof around.
You're better than that AA. I cannot stand the AA. Just a fireman carry takedown.
The old fireman carry.
Step over toes. Yeah.
Well, I miss them. Man, I just miss the ruthless aggression days when they were actually allowed to say STFU. And then they had to shorten it to the STF. I mean, what is the STF, anyways?
Step over toe holes.
Step over drop toe holes.
Yeah.
I know, but you know, the STFU stood for shut the, you know.
I wish we had a little bleep in there with the show.
Beep.
being just like the same, like the people that in the WWE or the talk show hosts of, you know, beep. Why are you beep?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, sorry.
I can do that.
So, oh my gosh, Dave, why don't we, let's shift gears here a bit, and it's time to discuss some controversy.
Controversy.
Boy, in the world of, there's a lot of controversy right now in the world, and the WWE is caught right up. It's not very often that professional wrestling makes national news, but boy, it's been all over the national news lately. And why don't you,
James and John Cena got to talk together? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Dave. Hey, Dave, let's talk about that for a minute. Why don't you give us a little backstory on what's going on right now?
Okay, what has happened with what's going on with national news coverage with WWE and the Crown Jewel event has to do with a reporter from one of the Washington newspapers, I believe it was the Washington Post, who evidently was kidnapped and killed in Saudi Arabia recently. That's an absolutely horrid, horrid event. And then there's been a lot of talk that the WWE should not be going to Saudi Arabia because of the political climate there. They did catch a little flack when they did the Greatest Royal Rumble, and there was actually some talk from Al-Qaeda about possible repercussions. Now, whether that's going to happen with Crown Jewel, I certainly hope the WWE, with a congressional order, not to go to Saudi Arabia for this weekend's event.
So what, I mean, okay. So, you know, I honestly, Dave, I don't know, man. You know, last time we brought up a controversial topic on Turnbuckle Trash, there was we caught a little backlash from some fans and things. I mean, do we dare even go down this road?
I say we dare.
If they don't like it, tough Nuggies, tough Oreos, go ahead and let's talk about what we think is right or wrong. And if they don't like it, all they got to do is, unsubscribe, don't do anything else, and turn your earphones off and quit listening. And don't be so sensitive. If you don't like it, please. I'll pack your bags for you. No problem.
What do you guys think about this controversy?
Well, go ahead. Zane. You go first.
Well,
I've got my opinion.
So, I'm a little bit confused as to why. I mean, now, don't get me wrong, okay? See, I'm not trying to sound insensitive. I'm not trying to sound anything like that. I'm just saying I'm not sure why the controversy. You know, if the WWE wants to perform in Saudi Arabia, and I'm sure Vince is getting quite a paycheck for that. You know, last time I checked, I guess it's up to the shareholders. You know, and I don't know. I guess I don't see what the issue is. I mean, they're not supporting that type of behavior or anything. I mean, just because they're performing for the sheiks, I guess I don't see what the issue is. Maybe you could expound on that, Dave. Because you're kind of in the media and on a more local level, but you do cover some national news and some things on your program, and maybe you could further explain why the controversy. Why is the WWE in lukewarm water over this?
And it does concern me any time I hear someone who is in the media being threatened or also being, in this case, evidently killed for doing his job, which I think is an absolute shame. But this isn't like being banned from Cuba for so many years or from some of the other activities and things that took place. I understand why some people are concerned and some of the performers are concerned, but also you're in business. There are people over there in Saudi Arabia working in the oil fields that face danger all the time.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, if a performer doesn't feel comfortable with being put in that, I mean, and their contract mandates that they have to perform that, but yet they're not up for it. I mean, how does something like that work out?
That's when lawyers get involved and make a lot of money.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, a lot. A lie. Oh, man.
Well, Chris, so what's your take on this?
I think we ought to have all the WWE superstars wear Make America Great Again hats while they go over there. And while they're at it, why don't they just go ahead and fly the Trump flag and have it 2020 on there? We might as well do that too. I don't really I think that the safety of the superstars need to be at first at hand. We don't want no problems out of these, I'll call them thugs, because that's what they are, they're thugs. I think that they can just go up to a building or something and blow themselves up and have their 30 or 60 forward versions or whatever the heck it was. I don't know. I mean, I think that they just need to go over there and make their money. But if superstars do not want to go, don't let them go. Okay, that's fine. If our government steps in and says, you're banned from going, how's Vince going to stop that? Unless he gets limited.
I don't know, but I don't know if could they ever say something like that or do something like that?
I think it all depends, guys, on whether the United States government bans travel to that country. I mean, so many years we had the situation with Cuba where travel was completely banned, tourism and everything, business with Cuba was banned. That's not in place right now. However, the government can put a warning out there and temporarily ban, but I don't think that's going to happen at this time. I think Crown Jewel will be going on.
I said the Crown Jewel will be the crown that we can never find ever again. I don't think Crown Jewel is going to work. And whoever thought of that name was either high on acid or they were just drinking too much Jack Daniels that day. No, I just don't see Crown Jewel doing anything. I really don't. It's another pay-per-view that's going to go down the rocky road, and we're going to see old wrestlers come back with no hair on their head, a.k.a. someone else. I don't see it. I just don't see Crown Jewel doing anything.
So I want to talk about one. I want to talk about one more thing with this, and then I want to Chris. Then we're, then Chris brought up a good topic. But so what's why the controversy or whatever? I mean, their big controversy in the media and so on and so forth is Linda McMahon being in Donald Trump's cabinet as his small business liaison. You know, they're saying that they're condoning this type of behavior. The Trump administration is condoning this kind of behavior. And I'm like, you know, why? Linda McMahon is probably so far from the business right now with her political career that I'm like, that is kind of, let's be honest, that's a stupid thing to even bring up and say. I just wanted to add that. I don't know if you guys have any take on that or if you want to move on.
To me, it's a non-issue.
I don't think she has anything to do with it. I think she's far away from the business right now. She's got more things to worry about than the WWE. Mm.
Okay, let's consider this chapter closed, and let's move on to something a little more fun and a little more productive. I'm sorry, Dave. I hope I'm not cutting you off. I just wanted to. Chris brought up something that I thought was interesting, and I wanted to expound on it, if you're okay with that. Okay, so Chris said that Crown Jewel, sorry guys, you can hear my kid talking in the background. We're working out in the garage and recording a Turnbuckle Trash while we're at it. Doesn't get much better than that, right?
There you go.
Chris, you were talking about some old superstars and with 1,000th episode of SmackDown Live coming at you, we're going to see people like Edge and Batista there, and there's, I guess they've announced quite a few. So we've got the 1,000th episode of Raw, which is cool, and then we've got Crown Jewel. But so what's the difference between SmackDown 1000 and having a few guests come back here and there and making fun and having a good time? And then we've got Shawn Michaels making his in-ring return. Have something to say about this.
Shawn Michaels, yay, you're coming back. You're coming out of retirement. Let me give you, if I had a violin, I'd play it right now for you. That's great. You're coming out of retirement. You're going to fight whoever. And you look like a turtle that just came out of a shell. Shake your head. What in the world? Wow. I didn't recognize you. In fact, I don't think anybody recognized you. Sean, it's time for you to go. Go away. Please go away. Take Triple H with you.
Dave, I hear you got guys on the program. You know, I guess it's one thing like I mentioned, you know, SmackDown Live, you got a few guests coming back for one night, right?
Right.
And here you've got guys like Triple H still headlining after how many years? And yet we've got guys in the back like Ty Dillinger and some of these guys that are really good that are just kind of getting looked over for guys like Shawn Michaels. I mean, what do you think about that?
That's what brings the money.
Yeah, that's it. It's what brings in the money. And there is a certain amount of nostalgia when people look back at DX and the Attitude Era. I would prefer to see maybe them get involved in a match, but not necessarily headlining. To me, that just doesn't make sense. But you know what? I'm not the booker. I'm not the people behind the show. But if it was me, no. The time has passed. I mean, you know, the Brothers of Destruction against DX. If I look back at the Triple H and the Undertaker performance at the last pay-per-view, which was fine. It actually turned out a little bit better than I thought it would, although it was very slow. There was a lot of high spots, a lot of spots where they could rest. But overall, come on, it's just something. Yeah.
Oh yeah, they needed to rest, all right. Triple H couldn't even pick up the Undertaker, and the Undertaker couldn't even do a back drop. Really? It was awful.
That Triple H and Undertaker and Kane and still look pretty good, but I guess they said that Shawn Michaels looked not so well. And you got to think Shawn Michaels has been out of the ring for over 10 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's been out for 10 years. Make the occasional appearance, do a super kick here and there. But Shawn just looked like he was having life problems. I mean, like he almost looked bow-legged out there when he was walking around doing stuff. But you know, going back to the pay-per-view, who started the cheating? Shawn Michaels, and he was the one that started the outside interference. Kane just over there picking his nose. And I'm the big red player of Nutsville. So, I just have some questions about it. It's fine, but it's not something that makes me want to watch Crown Jewel.
So, Dave, reach under your cabinet there and sort through your old Tupperware. Maybe open the oven. I mean, who uses the oven anymore, right? And see if your crystal ball's in there. Is that sucker in there still? Get it out and dust it off. Get that sucker out, dust it off. Let's look in the future a little bit. So what do you see the future of the WWE right now in its current state with guys like Shawn Michaels and Triple H and The Undertaker is still headlining after all these years. I mean, how much longer can it go? I know, Chris, you talk about as long as you're putting butts in the seats and as long as you got somebody that's box office and stuff like that. You know, I know that that's what it's all about, but how long can guys like The Undertaker and Triple H and Kane and that so-called carry the company, or is it time for them to just take a back seat and let, you know, the architect Seth Rollins take over and the main event Dolph Ziggler and some of these guys? I mean, so get that sucker out, Dave. Let me tell you
back to an old saying: beating a dead horse. And that horse has been dead for years, as far as I'm concerned.
Your crystal ball probably got washed away in a hurricane or something, but you got to have something there to look into. Maybe your bald head in the mirror or something.
Chris, what do you think, my man?
Well, the way I see it is that ask Jerry the King Lawler how long a wrestler can last in the ring. That man has been doing it for so long after a heart attack and everything else that's happened to him, he's still in the ring, and people still love to go see the man. But the problem is with The Undertaker and Triple H, how many times do we have to regurgitate these matches? I mean, okay, fine. We've seen you, Triple H. We've seen you from steroids to flab. We've seen you, Undertaker, from a shaved head to prosthetic limb. I mean, come on. It's over. It's Shawn Michaels. You had the boy toy. Now you're the oi oi. You are nothing. It's over. Go into the sunset. Let the other guys have it. No, I don't see it anymore. Those guys don't put the butts in the seats. I don't care who you are. Yeah, I'd love to see The Undertaker. But how many times can you wait 15 minutes before he gets down the aisle? Next time it's going to be in one of those roll-away chairs. Can you see him in one of those motorized chairs? I'm coming.
Well, and you got a point there, Chris. I mean, how, you know, and I'm not taking away from The Undertaker being in good shape. I mean, that guy would probably take all three of us on and probably not bat an eye, because I know I'm a weakling, and I know Dave's pretty strong, but I mean, you got martial arts under your belt, but, you know, Mark Calloway's a tough bastard, let's just be honest with you, and but how long can he do that swan dive over to all three ropes and land on his head, you know? I just don't know how long you can keep doing that.
I mean, there's been a lot of wrestlers that does that, but we can't understand how they're still alive. And how many times have they passed an IQ test? I don't know how they do it, but they do. I mean, they're the most dedicated people you could ever see. They're more than I could ever do, and my hat's off to them. Congratulations, boys.
Wasn't it this summer that Terry Funk was back in the ring, Dave?
Yeah, he still does an occasional appearance. Not very much, but he does get out there.
Terry Funk don't even know what his age is.
Oh,
yeah, with a motorized chair.
I mean, that guy could hardly even walk, I'll bet, you know?
Uh-huh.
Anyways.
But by the way, during the last pay-per-view, I timed out how long the entrance was from the time they introduced Shawn Michaels until they got all four of the competitors into the ring and ready to go when The Undertaker took his hat off. Was over 15 minutes of nothing but entrance music.
Of course.
But the crowd was into it.
So they are at a Metallica concert as well. Don't worry.
Well, can I ask you guys a question, something? This is dealing with the WWE, and I want your honest opinion. Remember back at the first of the year, the WWE, and we talked about how they were going to cut back on their amount of pay-per-views. They were going to go from 16 shows down from 16 to 14, now 18. The math doesn't add up to them saying they're going to cut back on the amount of pay-per-views. I mean, am I wrong in saying it's just a way to make more money?